Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Here we are, October 20th. As I said yesterday, excuse me, I want to, cover a few headlines. I didn't have time to get to yesterday really quick. Hopefully really quick. I hope I don't jinx myself, because every time I say that, it never winds up being quick. But I'm hoping to just rip through these fast and then, get to the Beatles discussion. So let's just jump into this. On the 16th, USA Today had this headline: Trump administration to labs, finish COVID tests in 2 days or face payment cuts. Look at the pressure that's being put here, guys. Again, this is part of the Operation Warp Drive bullshit. How gullible can people be to think that something like this could ever be trusted? Now, granted, just like the coronavirus itself, if it in fact exists, the vaccines were developed, probably a frickin' at least half a decade ago, all right? They're not developing it now. This is all pageantry. But it doesn't matter. For the dumbasses that don't know that, how in the world could they trust something that supposedly only began production, 5-6 months ago? Holy shit. And here's Trump saying, putting the pressure on even more. Finish COVID tests in 2 days. You want to talk about getting political, right? This is all in anticipation of the election. He wants this damn thing rolled out, if possible, before the election. Speaking about things happening before the election, did you catch, this was mentioned like a month ago. I think I made reference to it on one show, but it was repeated again the other day. Our good friend, Well, COVID-19 is part of a grand global experiment to see if people are going to trust their scientists, Neil deGrasse Tyson. He said yesterday, I guess it was, that, this proposed asteroid impact is supposed to take place. He reiterated what came out a month ago, that it's looking like it's definitely going to hit a day before the election. Oh my God, you got to be kidding me, guys. What the hell are they planning? What do they have up their sleeve? Are they going to let off some massive nuke in the Pacific or something and then say it was an asteroid impact and it's going to have devastating consequences globally, probably massive tidal waves, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, whatever. Are they going to pull up the stops and just let their fucking hair down? How would you know? How would you know what caused all this disruption if it was actually an asteroid impact? We would have to go, as always, by what these lying son of a bitches tell us, right? They could easily set a nuke off on some fucking mid-Pacific island somewhere. Can't put anything past these wretched monstrosities from hell. So that's just something to keep in the back of your mind. Something pleasant to help you sleep better at night. God damn it. I hate talking about this shit. You know that? I would much rather be talking about things that uplift and build people up and make life more pleasurable and meaningful and prolong longevity, talk about health and diet and exercise and, you know, fun things you can do with the family, go for hikes. And no, instead, we got to talk about this fucking shit. That's downright goddamn depressing. So many times I've been told, you are always so depressing the way you talk. That's not my intention, God damn it. It just so happens that we live in a fucking depressing world because it's run by disgusting criminal pigs. But, you know, I don't talk about depressed people. I talk about because people need to hear this. Problem is, most don't want to. I was just texting back and forth with a listener, and he brought up that very point, you know, talking with this woman back and forth, and she's basically saying that, well, you know, you're too hung up with that stuff. You need to go out and have some fun. Oh, Jesus, who doesn't want to have fun? But God damn it, the time is coming. You're not going to be able to have fun anymore. There will be no fun unless you stand up to these bastards and put a stop to them. No, this isn't fun, having to expose these pricks. But it's the only hope we have of having a future where we can have fun. Anyway, New York Post reported October 17th, which was, what, Saturday. Scientists worry as more Americans say they'll refuse the COVID-19 vaccine. Scientists are worried. They're worried about maybe their fucking investment portfolio. That's what they're worried about. On October 15th, 2020, Fox News carried this headline. Tucker Carlson responds to CDC after agency critiques commentary about mask wearing. It featured a clip from Carlson filmed the day before, October 14th, in which he made these comments. This is a pretty interesting, and again, you know, I'm a fan of freaking Mr. Trump ass-licking Carlson, but guys, he does come out with some pretty good shit. And so it doesn't matter that, you know, he's a shill, obviously, but it doesn't matter because when he makes whopper statements like what I'm going to read right now, you can still use it. It's just like, you know, the famous Winston Churchill quote about Jews running the world, right? Guy was a piece of shit. He was the biggest ass licker up until Trump. And yet, well, you know, he had some stiff competition with Junior Boy Bush, but nevertheless, he was a major Trump, major Jew ass licker. But it's a good quote. You can still use that to, you know, to show people, to wake people up. Same with this. He said, "We received a response tonight from the CDC about our segment last night on face masks, you know, that wearing them was not necessary." And then he said, "A spokesman for the CDC said that our coverage was misleading. The spokesman didn't dispute what we had showed as accurate data from the CDC." They didn't question the quote that, you know, the quotes that he made from the CDC because they were legitimate, including that 85% of people who tested positive for coronavirus in July reported wearing a mask always or often. In other words, the mask wearing is complete bullshit and it serves no purpose. He's making the point here. Instead, he said, the spokesman said this: at no time has CDC guidance suggested that masks were intended to protect the wearers. Imagine that. CDC spokesman said last week that at no time has the CDC suggested that masks were intended to protect the wearers. Look at this, guys. Look at this fucking roller coaster ride. Look at this shit. The CDC certainly has said that. In fact, Carlson went on to say, huh? At no time has the CDC suggested masks were intended to protect people who wear them? That's what they said tonight, he says. Now, that would be news to the director of the CDC, Robert Redfield. Here he was last month saying, and then he went on to quote him. He played a clip from him where he said, which was back in, what, September. I might even go so far as to say that this face mask is more guaranteed to protect me against COVID than when I take the COVID vaccine. Fucking unbelievable, guys. What a crock of fucking shit. But do you see the, you know, the double speak going on here, the mixed message? Of course they've been saying wear the face mask, right? Just as much as Fauci, they are responsible for this bullshit. And yet, at no time have we said, well, guess what? Who cares about the other contradictory statements? Let's stick with this one. They're admitting now that they have never said that the mask would protect you. So why the fuck are we wearing them then? Why are we being mandated to wear them when the fucking CDC itself said that they had never said it would protect you? In other words, it doesn't protect you. That's an admission that it does not protect you. We don't need that admission, but it's an astonishing one, isn't it? Look at this, guys. They locked us down for no reason. Their own statistics, once again, the CDC's own statistics show that the goddamn death rate is less than that, much less than that of the common influenza, right? Much less. So by their own statistics, we were locked down for nothing and we're wearing masks for nothing. In fact, this whole thing is for nothing. Speaking of Carlson, back in August, he called the corona pandemic a hoax. He used the word hoax, guys. It is. It's just, you know, it's amazing that something like this comes out on mainstream and yet nothing changes. It still marches on. Fox News reported on October 16th, Jewish leaders call COVID rules blatantly anti-Semitic. Can you fucking believe it, guys? Once again, do you see how they always make it about them? They don't say that it's inhuman, unnecessary, tyrannical, power abusive, nothing like that at all. Not a general statement that could, should, and you know, would apply to everyone across the board. No, no, no. They just want to make it about themselves. It's anti-Semitic so that they can be exempt and everybody else has to put up with it. That's what they're trying to push here. Well, doesn't that make sense? Because everyone, you know, came up with this whole scheme in the first place. Fox, don't forget, you know, the article I mentioned yesterday about in Germany, you know, so many umpteen millions of dollars the Jews are going to be getting because of their sufferings during the shutdown. Oh, Christ almighty, what a fucked up world we live in, huh? And it's so fucked up because of them, primarily. Well, we'd have our problems anyway. It's not a perfect world, is it? But my God, as I've said so many times before, guys, we would be living right now in a relative freaking paradise if it weren't for them. In spite of the imperfections of this world. Fox, Baltimore.com had this headline on October 13th. Who abandons past support for lockdowns now says stay-at-home orders double world poverty. Who abandons past support for lockdowns? There's another one that you can pull out in defense of, you know, protesting the lockdowns. The who? The goddamn who? Can you believe this, guys? Once again, you want to talk about mixed messages. Who has come out and said that the lockdowns are not good and that it's been doubling world poverty? Well, they're absolutely right on that one, aren't they? But is anybody following it? You know what they're doing, of course, in saying this. They're trying to face save and make it look like we are the good guys. They led the pack in pushing for the lockdown, you see. So now they have to say this so it looks good, and they can always, when it's convenient for them, make reference to articles like this. See, we came out and made a statement that we weren't for it. Look at the fucking mind. It's mindfuckery. That's all this is. Look at the game that they play. They're our friends one minute, our enemies the next. No, they're never our friends. They only make statements to give the illusion that they're our friends. Nevertheless, though, we can use this to our advantage. Print this article out, guys. Get this article, print it out, take it to your fucking town hall. You know, you might not be able to make a difference on the national level or the international, but take it to your local fucking town hall and say, why are we going along with this? Look at the WHO said. son of a bitch. IPSnews.net had this on October 15th. Global poverty soars as incomes of world billionaires hit new highs. Yeah, just as they wanted it. Just what they orchestrated this for. Concentration and funneling of wealth up the top, while everyone else gets left penniless. The Guardian reported October 14th, IMF urges government to borrow to fight impact of COVID-19. Oh, yes. Capitalizing on it. Borrow. And if you don't, we'll find ways to coerce you to make sure you do borrow. Remember that article I cited, a couple months ago, how third world countries primarily were being coerced into going along with stringent COVID measures in order to, you know, either get a loan or to lower their interest rates or whatever, dangling that carrot out there, bribing them, coercing them into enforcing these measures. And now here's the IMF urging nations, take loans as we fill our coffers up and drown everyone else in poverty. You motherfuckers, man. ABC7News.com reported on October 12th, Stanford University doctor leads global health argument criticizing COVID-19 restrictions. Once again, hats off to Stanford, guys. These are the ones back in May, remember, who basically said it's over now. You know, everybody can start going back to work. Our studies have shown that, this isn't a pandemic. That was my word, not theirs. But in so many words, that's what they were saying. You know, there's no need for the shutdown. 400,000 people who followed the lockdown procedure still got COVID in the Los Angeles County area. 400,000 people still got COVID while locking themselves in their homes for 2 weeks. And yet nothing came of that, right? Because they ignored it. Well, anyway, here's this Stafford leading medical researcher fighting, the good fight. Hey, hats off to them. That's fucking great. I hope there's more like that. They keep coming out. And there are, there's thousands of medical professionals around the world now that are screaming at the top of their lungs. They're not going to be able to maintain this for much longer, guys, unless they just outright, introduce martial law. And heaven forbid, but I think that's actually what they're going to have to wind up doing, in which case we've got one big fucking fight in our hands. But you know what, guys? Fight them to the fucking death. Fight them to the death. That's, if it has to come to that, so be it. Fight them to the fucking death. Because once again, I would rather die free than live as a slave. Give me liberty or give me death. You want a fucking fight? You're going to get one. You know what you're going to wind up with in the end? A bunch of dead people that aren't going to be able to serve you. And you're going to fucking eat away at your own cells, because that's all that's going to be left. Great job. Great job, assholes. Fucking up the whole world, you pieces of shit. Your descendants are going to piss and shit on your grave for generations to come for the fucking miseries you've unloaded, which will ultimately fall on your own head, but you're too fucking stupid to even see that, aren't you? You freaking products of incest, mindless idiots. Anyway, Mercury News had this headline, October 12th. Coronavirus, it's along the same line of the previous headline. Coronavirus, Stanford doctors among leaders of global anti-lockdown movement. So it's not just the head doctor there. There's quite a few of them. Apparently all of them. All of the doctors on Stanford's staff are banding together. I hope I'm still on the air. God damn it all. Feel like that. Hold on 1 second, folks. If somebody's able to call in right now and let me know if I'm being heard, I'm not even sure if I'm being heard. Uh, I just looked at my screen and noticed that I was cut off from the, you know, I log in on my Chromebook, but then I use my phone to call in on, and the Chromebook was dropped. And usually when that happens, it means I'm not live anymore. So I'm just logging in one more time. God damn it. This is what happened last night, too. Sons of bitches. Okay. Just something went wrong with my, looks like it's all set. All right. It looks like we do have a call. Okay, we do have a call on the line. Welcome to the show, caller. Are you there?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, okay. I never cut out.
Right.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thanks a lot, man. Okay, appreciate it. All right. Yeah, after last night's little episode there, friggin' bastards. Oh, they're really they're going crazy, guys, with this shit, man. They're shutting down sites, shutting down channels. Looks like I think we got another caller on the line. Yeah, are you there, caller?
Yeah. Just calling to say I can hear you.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Somebody else just called in and said the same thing. Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay. Yep. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
You're good, Charlie. I'm still on here. I'll get off.
Oh, okay, man. Thanks.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah, take care. All right, guys, let me plow through here quick because I do want to get to the Beatles stuff. But nevertheless, there were quite a few headlines from yesterday that I didn't want to skip over. CNBC reported on October 14th, Bill Gates, vaccine conspiracies targeting Dr. Fauci and me, says says Gates, are unfortunate and hurt public trust. Oh, too bad. That's just too sad. Obviously, the truth is getting out, Billy boy, and people are seeing through your little thinly veiled shenanigans, so that's fucking awesome. We do need to have public trust compromise when it comes to pricks like you. Yes, it's good news, isn't it, guys? Unfortunate, he says. Yeah, unfortunate for your investment. You fucking scum of the earth. Oh, guys, if nothing else comes out of this, once again, let me say it boldly and proudly. I hope somebody takes that motherfucker out, or at least one of the others amongst his crowd. Just one of them. Although I'll tell you this. If just one got taken out, it's going to snowball. I think people are just waiting to hear that one of them gets taken down, and I think it's just going to explode. Wouldn't that be a time for celebration? Huh? You want to talk about a jubilee, baby? Oh, I'll be blowing the shofar myself personally when that happens. Fucking shit. That would be our liberation right there, guys. The world's billionaires. They need to go. They need to go. It's them. And we know who most of them are, don't we? Oh, there's a few dumbass sellout pieces of shit goyim that have ridden their coattails into glory. But it's primarily them, as always. Anyway. Summit.news had this headline on October 12th. Bizarre, socially distanced prom shows teens dancing back to back. Somebody sent me this link and there was a short little clip of it. Oh my God, guys, it's so disgusting. These fucking young kids, teenagers, are, you know, dressed up in their prom outfits, but they're back to back. They have their arms interlocked, facing away from each other, and they're just swaying back and forth with the fucking masks. Oh my fucking God, man, you gotta be kidding me. And you can just see people like Gates watching this and going, drooling all over himself with fucking glee. And what a piece of shit. They love this, guys. They get off on this. Not just that they're driving people into poverty and making more money and getting more power and control. Just the fact that they're making monkeys out of people, making asses out of them, ruining their lives, taking away their enjoyment in life. They literally get off on it. That's what gives them pleasure. Can you imagine? To be human is to take pleasure in helping other people. You know, that's how it should be. That's how it used to be. And that's how it will always be for real human beings. But no, with these motherfuckers, it's completely the opposite. Their way of pleasure is to make other people fucking miserable. Oh, I tell you, I've known my share of people like that through life. And maybe it's been my exposure to shitballs like that that's enabled me to see it, you know, in government and in officialdom, you know, across the board. Maybe that's had something to do with it. I don't know. Usually the people who are wise to fucking conspiracies like this are ones that have been screwed over either by the system directly or just by somebody else fucking them over, you know. I find a lot of times, you know, minority people or handicapped people seem to be a lot more open-minded because they've been screwed over, taken advantage of, or cheated out of things, you know. That's not always the case, but it seems to be more often than not. So maybe it's been a good thing that I've seen a lot of assholes in my day because I think that has played a big role. You know, like I mentioned, my experience in college, you know, seeing how the fucking pricks in the theology department treated me. And I reasoned that, hey, if this is going on in the religious world, which, you know, at that time I thought was supposed to be so trustworthy, right? They're working for God. I began to reason that, Jesus, if it's going on in the religious world, what must be going on in the political world, you know? So, yeah, I think that did help somewhat for me to see the broader picture. But anyways, Fox News had this headline October 13th. Tucker Carlson, the cult of mask wearing grows with no evidence that they work. So there you go. Once again, you got to love it, guys. There isn't anybody. Shill or not, doesn't, I mean, he is a shill, but the fact that he is a shill doesn't matter. He still remains one of the few people in mainstream media that talks like this. And you can show people this and say, look, this is, you know, this isn't some conspiracy theory website. This is Fox News. It's the mainstream. Anyway, guys, short break. Shit. You know what? I think I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to pick the whole show. So when we get back, I'll just get back into the Beatles thing. Stick with us.
Many expensive paintings today suck. Kyle's paintings don't suck. They actually look like what they represent and don't have grotesque scenes and themes. In fact, they are a celebration of beauty and life. Sure, they might cost a few hundred dollars, but just imagine how much they will be worth after Kyle becomes even more famous or infamous. Either way, you win. And with inflation, we can almost guarantee each painting will one day be worth $6 million. Just imagine if you were able to get one of Hitler's paintings when no one knew who he was. Visit KylePaintings.com. Buy an already painted piece or commission one. Say no to degenerate art and yes to KylePaintings.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. During the break, I just ran through real quick, and there's only one more headline I definitely want to cover. This is friggin' mind-blowing. Look at this shit. Zero Hedge had this back on October 13th. The illusion of safety. UK commuter trains will leave windows open in winter to fight COVID-19. Now, does that even make the slightest smidgen bit of fucking sense? Of course not. When you're sick, you keep the heat up and you keep the windows shut. Exposure to cold can be bad, for any kind of infection, right? Well, actually, a fever raises your temperature. You might want to get a little cool air. But no, the point is exposure to the open air, could cause, potential contagious viruses to circulate more, right? It just doesn't make any. If nothing else, you will get sick with a bacterial infection keeping the windows open in wintertime, right? And so all that would do is if there is also a viral infection going around, it'll make you even more sick if you get the cold on top of it. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. But here they claim that that's what they're going to do to help fight COVID. Who the fuck would even want to ride on a train with the windows open? Fuck them. I don't know about you guys, but I'm done. I'm done traveling, trains, planes, sounds like the movie Trains, Planes, Automobiles. I'm done with trains and planes. Certain automobiles, yes, although forget Uber now. Uber, goddammit, is, I don't know about everywhere, but in my area, they're doing contact tracing, guys. They're asking you for your name and your fucking phone number when you get into the cab. Fuck them. They're not going to make any money off of me. I'm done. Anyway, got a call on the line now. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
What's happening?
So I joined in a little late. Any major topics we're talking about tonight?
I just finished some headlines from yesterday that I didn't have time to cover, and then I'm going to get back into the Beatles discussion.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I was watching your show about the Beatles, man. That's crazy. I would be past their time, but still, that was crazy. What was going on with them? That was disgusting. That photo part with the babies, the babies and stuff. Jesus.
I know it's messed up, but pretty much you go through all the popular bands, even right up into modern times. Of course, it gets worse. In fact, the more you come closer to it. But it's always been this way.
Yeah, I used to be deep in the heavy metal, and then I kind of took out of it, and I was like, Jesus, this is horrible. This is bad stuff.
Not only
the album art, but even the lyrical stuff. But I mean, that's kind of what they've tried to do with a lot of what I think white people is. They kind of, say white people like the heavy metal, black people like the rap. You know what I mean? So they kind of pushed it on white people, saying like, well, you have to like heavy metal, with Satanist worship music, kind of taking that far cry from Christianity or anything. You know what I mean? Trying to phase out the Christian values. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I was just calling I called in a few weeks ago about the COVID. My school had said I was exposed to the COVID.
Oh, yeah. And how's that going?
Yeah, so that's fine. I never had it. I was still going to
work. No, but I mean, you said you were talking with a lot of your friends. Have you had any success?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When I've been in person, I've been able to kind of convert a few people. A lot of people already think it's kind of a hoax. So I kind of just played off of that, like we're kind of supposed to. And then I kind of like, hey, what about the Hall of Hopes? And do you think really 6 million died? You know what I mean? So yes, I have kind of converted a few more to kind of be like, something ain't right. And I told them about 9/11 and I kind of just kind of, broke it down for them in a simple way, to make it easier for them. And I've also been using, I don't know if TikTok, be surprised. But there are actually a lot of kind of, people that have already taken the, I don't even want to call it
skeptics
the red pill.
Skeptics or the red pill,
People call it the red pill, but I feel like that's been taken over by the Jews anyways.
Right, misused. They always do that.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course. It's controlled opposition. But, I mean, a lot of people are very open to the whole, like, something ain't right. There's something suspicious going on right now. I kind of played off of that, and I'd be like, well, you want to look at this? And I'll like post videos on TikTok, and I've made like 3 accounts. They've all gotten banned, but I got my message out there before. But yeah, they're really strict on banning all quote-unquote anti-Semitic hate speech. aka yeah. the truth. But, you know, so it's like TikTok's a new Facebook at this point. But yeah, I mean, I was just calling to let you know that people are still kind of open. I was just coming to check up on the show. And also, awesome. I just wanted to say that there, I had a conversation I wanted to tell you about, a conversation I had in Walmart. So I was in Walmart, and you know how they are about the mask thing. How strict they are. I didn't have mine on in defiance. So I had mine under my chin. It was my nose and mouth were completely open. And I wanted to shop to get a new mask that had, like, you know, American flag on it. Because I said, if I'm going to have to wear it in school, then I want something other than this surgical bullshit mask. So I was talking to this lady because she was shopping for masks. And she was like, oh, yeah, you know. I said, how are you doing today? I was striking up conversation because, you know, we're all inside the house. So we're all bored, eager to talk. I was like, how are you doing today? And she's like, you know, anytime I'm not wearing this stupid fucking thing is a good day. I'm like, hey, I agree with you. And we started straight. Yeah. And I took that opportunity and we started striking up a conversation and she already knew all the shit. And she was like, oh great. You know, these things are bullshit. They cause more health risks. Like you were talking about the infections on the mouth and the throat stuff, the rashes and shit that they're causing. She knew all that stuff. And she kind of listed it off to me but she was still stuck on the voting. And I was like, fuck, lady, come on.
Yeah.
Man.
Some people, they always just
Trump
go so far.
Not your savior,
yeah.
man. Yeah, she was older, though. So I can understand that she's kind of already...
Sure. Oh, yeah. She's been indoctrinated for decades.
Yeah. Into submission to just be like, well, you know, there's got to be a...
But, you know, you raise an important point. A lot of people get discouraged when they look around and see everybody wearing masks, you know, and even I've done it. But the truth is, a lot of those people actually doesn't mean that they're, you know, they're falling for it. They're doing what they feel
totally
is necessary
agree.
Just so they can, so they can do their grocery
I
shopping.
Totally agree.
But when it comes down to push and shove, I think a lot of them are going to, you know, they're going to take a stand.
I totally agree. I know a lot of people do it out of just kind of submission and don't want to start a problem. But I mean, I usually just keep mine off because I feel like any time I have it on is just kind of showing that I'm a slave to the Jews. It feels like every time I put it on. So I try to keep it off in many places as much as I can. You know what I mean? As much as I can. And I also try to do that to maybe let other kids my age or even let people around me be like, I can take mine off. It's not such a bad deal. You know, it's not such a big deal. So that's what I kind of try to do. I'm very vocal in school about masks. I'm like, dude, I'm not wearing this bolt. You expect me to cut a fucking build a shed with this thing on? Are you out of your fucking tits, dude? So I'm very vocal about, you know, what the hell's going on around me and with other kids. I try to make it, you know, known so people that are on the fence don't feel so isolated because the media makes you kind of feel like you're a minority.
The intimidation game
true.
And everything.
Yeah. Which is almost true. It feels like because you see everyone around you with the mask, but I try to make it so people are like, maybe I got somebody on my side because I've showed them like, hey, man, I don't care about if I'm positive for it. I'm never getting tested because I'm not letting them get my DNA. You're out of your tits if you think I'm doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And you brought up a good point because I never even thought that they would want to get your DNA from that. I thought it was just to give you, you know, brain AIDS or whatever the hell they're trying to stick up your brain.
Well, that too.
of course.
There's always
wrong, of course. They're trying
always
to take
multiple
you they can. Oh, yeah, of course. But I had no idea. I was like, oh my God, he's so right about the DNA thing because I listened to your show at work. And I'm always listening. And I'm cleaning stuff. And I'm like, holy crap! I never thought about the DNA thing. That's nuts. So I'm glad I didn't go and get tested when they said, "Well, you could have got exposure." I'm like, "Yeah, fuck it. I don't give a shit."
Screw that.
Just an update. Yeah, exactly. Just an update. I never got the fucking virus. I was completely fine. Again, I'm in the percentile range. Even if this thing was 100% real, I'm in the percentile range admitted by the CDC of like 99.9999% recovery rate. So I'd be good anyways.
Exactly.
But yeah, I know there's another caller on, so I'll wrap this up. But yeah, I just love your show again. Love what you're doing. I really appreciate it. It gives people hope. I always link people to your show, trustworthy people. You know, like I told you the first time I called you, I said, I came for Kyle and Sinead, but then I heard your show and I was like, holy crap, I like this. Because this is easier for me to digest sometimes because Kyle... and Sinead are very like, they talk about like very serious topics and you do too, but you make it easier to digest for me. Cause you know what I mean? So that's just a personal opinion, but Yeah, so I always link people to your show. I hope some of them listen in sometimes. I'm just trying to get your guys' viewers up and trying to find people that are wanting to see the truth. But there's a lot
awesome.
Of us, a lot of younger kids. I can, yeah. I can promise you, I'm in different group chats and stuff that I've tried to keep unmonitored. I know it's hard to do since it's on the internet and everything's monitored, but I've had plenty of group chats, hundreds of people in them that are very awake to the whole Jewish question.
Nice. Nice.
So yeah, if that gives you any hope or anything, just because I know it seems very, you know, a lot of people take the black pill and it's like, well, everything sucks. We're screwed. But there's a lot of people that are ready to actually go to war and fight by their beliefs.
You yeah. Unfortunately, I think that's where we're heading.
Yeah. You know what? I think so, too. And who knows what that's going to bring. Maybe you could do a show on that one day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, love your show. I really appreciate what you're doing. You know, I'm really, you know, very appreciative of you helping me see the light as well, because you were a big proponent in me kind of furthering my knowledge on the whole Jewish question and stuff like that and supremacy.
Wow, so, awesome.
Really appreciate
awesome.
It. Yeah. Anytime I can, you know, recommend people to your show, I always do, because I tell them this guy's a great guy, knows what the hell he's talking about, swear to God. And I tell them that. So, yeah. Just wanted to thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
And,
appreciate it, man.
Yeah, of course. Have a good night. I'll be interested to listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah, take care. Call anytime.
Yep.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, I think we got, is that you, Bruce?
Hey, how's it going, Flapjack? Yep.
What's happening, man?
Yeah, listen to Jerky Boys.
No, I never really did. I never got into those guys. I'm more a 70s classic rock, maybe a little bit of the early 80s, Van Halen stuff.
No, I don't even know, but they're a comedy. They would do calls. They would put out ads in the paper in New York. And Johnny Brennan, I forgot the name of the other guy, they were partners. And they're called the Jerky Boys. Look them up on YouTube.
But they were musicians, right?
It's funny as hell, man. These guys... And they
weren't they musicians though? Were they just comedians or were they musicians?
Well, they're comedians. They started off just as a gag, you know, and I guess when they're teenagers or whatever. And
were musicians. I didn't know that.
No. Jerky
Boys.
Oh,
wow. I'm really out of the loop then.
No, and look up Jerky Boys. Plug this in. Write it down. Remember, okay? Because it's funny as hell.
Yeah, I'll do that. Boys, I'll have to look them up.
But there's one where they troll this Jewish flower lady. That's what it's called, flower lady. And she almost has a nervous breakdown over the call, man. It's funny as hell. Hey, man, I just wanted to throw a shot at you. You know how I think I told you before I try to decipher lyrics, like Dio and what have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got to be careful because you might misinterpret and put words in someone's mouth, but... you know who Beck is, right? You remember Beck?
No?
From the 80s? Here, I'm going to play just the intro of this song here. Hold on. Now, you don't remember that?
No.
Loser?
No,
okay.
That's not ringing a bell.
No, okay. I looked at the lyrics on it, and in one part he says, and dig this. This is really weird, okay? Here, I got it right here. Clown world. Okay, keep that in mind. Clown world, and then shutting down the internet, censorship, okay?
Yeah.
Because of the Holocaust, okay? Now, this is a line in that song, Loser. The forces of evil in a bozo nightmare. Banned all the music with a phony gas chamber.
Wow.
Did you get that? The forces of evil.
Yeah. Did they get attacked in the media for that one? I'm sure they did.
This was in the 80s, though. I don't know how he come up with this. It just really blew me away. Forces of evil and a bozo nightmare. Banned all the music with a phony gas chamber.
That's pretty good. I can't believe I thought they were a music group. I didn't know that it was a comedic thing. I'll have to look them up.
Jerky
now
Boys. Yeah, that's funny as hell, man. You just take you listen to a few and you'll be rolling. And That's all I got through tonight. You got some callers that took up a lot of your time, so I'll just cut you loose and just say, keep on, brother.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Yeah, take care. Speaking of the 80s, another band from the 80s that was really kick-ass was the Scorpions. I used to love listening to them. Anyway, we got another caller there. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, Charlie, can you hear me? It's Rich.
Yep, loud and clear.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was wanted your feedback on, you know, with this COVID thing, it's basically taken over because they're signing all deaths to COVID, right? I mean, basically everything,
yeah.
You know.
Pretty much.
Falling out of a plane to you're 91 and you got five comorbidities or something. But the point is that they're pushing this flu shot again. But
right.
If you look back to last year's cold and flu season, as soon as, the COVID thing pushed in the door, wherever it was, February or March, there was no more flu deaths. And they say the flu deaths are really borrowing from pneumonia. Because pneumonia actually is more of a, the flu never had a serious, nobody assumed that the flu was very serious. They just, collated it, joined it up with a pneumonia. But anyways, but pneumonia, the same story. There's no pneumonia death because of COVID. So then you're like, but anyways, when it comes to the flu shot, you could basically say, I thought it was cured. Here's a CDC listing of deaths. And apparently, there hasn't been a flu death since, February 5th last year. I mean, seriously.
Unbelievable. So, yeah. And
then when this cold and flu season rolls around, they're definitely going to assign, the money's on COVID, obviously. Because, COVID
Parallel to that is the fact that they've been pushing, and a lot of stupid parents have been taking their freaking babies, infants, in to get hepatitis B shots. Hepatitis B is a sexually transmitted disease.
Right.
And the damn thing is only good for like 12 years, right? Well, that baby is not going to be active sexually for way over 12 years, hopefully. How you look at it.
Well, it shows you how sick the people in the pharmaceutical industry are.
Oh, they're sick, all right. Yeah, absolutely.
They're fucking sick.
But don't forget what Neil deGrasse Tyson said, that we need to trust our scientists.
I know. And he's not even a real scientist. If anybody's a fake, a pseudo, if anybody's
a planetarium, for Christ's sake, big deal. Hayden Planetarium. Oh,
supposedly doesn't have a real PhD or anything. I mean,
Gates is a fucking computer hacker, and yet he's the number one consultant for a vaccine. Mm. Get the hell out of here.
I know.
Damn monkey ass.
And then there are all these side effects with obviously the mask wearing. And then like Gates the other day, somebody asked him finally about, masks. And then he's like, but they're so easy to put on and so easy to take off. And,
so easy to suffocate you.
Right. And then he's like, there's almost no downside that I could even think of. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, there's major league side effects to mask. I mean,
of course.
If you wear 5 minutes per day, that's different. You're just going in and out of Walmart. But I mean, if you're wearing that thing 50, 60 hours a week, you're doing some damage to yourself.
Sure. No, he's a piece of shit. There was an article the other day, some Italian, I don't know, Veterans Association or something was giving him an award, right? And so my comment, I didn't get to read that one tonight, but my comment after that was, as soon as they hand out the Mafia Crime Boss Awards, then they're going to give him his award. Yeah, cut the shit.
Oh, no, everything about him is a lie. They were saying his real name is probably William Gapes IV. He's going by Junior or the second or the third or something like that. And then what it's all about is they don't want you to know that the Gates go that far back with the Rockefellers. I mean, they were back. I mean, when John D was becoming the wealthiest guy ever, the guy controlling his money was supposedly at Gates.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been tied together. They've had this eugenics wet dream for hundreds of years, all this time.
Sure.
They say the Bushes are eugenicists too. I mean, they run deep.
Oh,
this
eugenics
thing is deep. All of them are major league eugenicists. And I think that, the reason maybe that they're concentrating on the English speaking countries is because of, the royal family back in London. You know what I'm saying? Like you've got the Commonwealth I'm saying countries that are getting harsh lockdowns. You know what I mean? You've got Australia, principally Victoria. You've got New Zealand. I can't believe they reelected that woman. Canada's going through shit right now, as you know. U.S., we don't even know what the hell's going to happen.
And those are all the same countries that they've targeted with the wide open border bullshit.
Well, they were saying like the five English speaking countries, but not Ireland. But they were saying the other five. There were some intelligence. What was sharing, whatever, all the intelligence agencies, the CIAs or all that stuff from each respective country, they're all working together. And they knew that, I forgot the name of that, operation, whatever, whatever it was called, but they were all, it's just standard knowledge. They're all working together. But of course, Ireland's not left out. And I think that, it could be the city of London.
They're in a full lockdown again right now.
Yeah, Ireland. Ireland is not, I thought Ireland was the only English-speaking country that was going to get away with it. First of all, South Africa, whites are like locked in the country. They say they can't even get like exit visas and they're like locked down.
Yeah.
But then, anyway, that's another story. But then the former, it's tied to the Queen. But everything, when you think about it, like the Queen, they've got the six counties in Northern Ireland. And theoretically, they don't have the other 26, but they act like they got them. And, you know what I mean? So I think it's like the Queen, the royal family back in England is establishing how much control they've got over everybody, in the English speaking world.
Yeah.
And plus they're answering to the Rothschilds in the city of London.
Sure.
The city of London, it's the city of London.
The incorporated city of London. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's all Rothschild and then the royal family, look, they would always use and over the Commonwealth. They have a lot of control over the Commonwealth still, obviously Australia, New Zealand and all that. So, I mean, it just looks like the Rothschilds are just telling them, for all we know, I can't, it gets far fetched. But for all we know, it's just the Rothschilds. Their strongest branch is in London, although they have other branches. Their strongest might be in London. And they're telling they're loaning them. They're the ones that loan the money out to the royal, family if they ever need it. And they own so much land and they have so much power. And they're just like, okay, we'll put the lockdown on our own first. And that's communism. You'll always go after the strongest links first. Yeah. Anyways, after they get rid of, if they succeed and get, crumble the English speaking world, they got to go after Germany because it's the strongest country on the continent. And then the rest of Europe falls like dominoes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's communism for you.
A lot of resistance. I think pound for pound, ounce for ounce, there's more people rising up in Germany against this shit. So
A section of Bavaria, it's going to get a lockdown. They announced it like in a week. I forgot. Yeah. I mean, it's like an Irish style or something. It was like, in other words, that Victoria thing is a virus that's going to spread. And it might spread to Ireland and it might spread to that section of Bavaria.
The virus of deception. Yeah.
Right. But that whole thing about Andrews and Victoria being the tough guy, and he's not a lone wolf. I mean, beta testing, whatever they're doing. But they're just testing it out and they're like, okay, let's try it in Bavaria. Let's try it in Ireland. That's my guess. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Right. It's looking that way. Crazy. But, anyway,
I know. But anyways, this whole thing, going back to my original thing though, was that if they're reassigning COVID to everything, why are we taking other kinds of other? There's no use for any other vaccinations if everything's a COVID test.
Right. Yeah. It's like, what's the point?
Flu shots.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
No.
There hasn't been. Basically. When it's next February, we could literally say this, the CDCs are going to be telling us there hasn't been a flu death in 1 year, but they're still going to be pushing the flu vaccination. And they were saying that it's only 40% effective. And if you are going to take one flu vaccination, you got to keep taking them because you got to keep pace with the, when those flus, they mutate, you got to keep pace with the mutations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy shit, man.
On the phone, lead, okay? Sorry. Yeah, anyway, sure. I'll let you go, man. It was good talking to you.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for calling, man.
All right. You have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. I think we got one more caller waiting in the queue. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, Charlie. Hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear, man.
I'm driving. You're talking about the Beastie Boys. That's who you thought he was talking about. And that came out in 1998. Yeah, and his lyrics are pretty crazy. But
I'll have to look them up.
Anyways, you know, I'm a musician, and I've been playing a little bit here and there. They're opening up some of the bars here where I live at, and a lot of maskless stuff. Like I said, where I'm at here in Florida, man, a lot of the rednecks, you know, they're not – these rednecks around here, man, they don't give a shit. They go anywhere. Well, we won't talk about the mask thing too much. But you talk about Jimmy Page all the time, and I was wondering if you knew he had an orphanage in Brazil, an orphanage for children.
No.
Did you know about that?
No, I didn't.
He was knighted by the Queen of England for his charity. All the stuff he did at that orphanage, it's all gone.
Well, you know what that must mean. That's not good.
I know. Really bizarre.
Wow.
Really weird. Yeah, well, he's got like a 25-year-old girlfriend now, and he walks around with her. He's creepy,
really?
Man. That guy. And, you know, in the 70s and all, you'd never get an interview from him or anything. I mean, but now he's just talking all over the place. He's all
about himself. I know in his early Zeppelin days, he was probably, I don't know, 21 or 2, and he was dating a 14-year-old.
Oh, he was almost 30 then. He was like 27.
Oh, was he really that old? Oh,
yeah,
that's even worse.
He was like 12 years old, 13 years old, yeah.
Oh,
Lori Maddox was her name. Yeah, I know all that stuff. But anyway, you're getting on the Beatles stuff, which is really cool, and I don't want to take up your time or anything. I just thought I'd correct the kid there.
But hey, that's something to look into. I'm curious now. I'm going to have to see if I can confirmation of my suspicions.
You know, about 15 years ago, I looked into it because a friend of mine owns a music, a record store, and he's telling me about this thing called a riffathon. If you have a really cool riff, you can send it in, and you get to meet Jimmy Page, and you take in the money. There's some money being raised, and it went to his charity. And I looked it up, and he had him with a little hat on. He had all his little kids around him, and it was one of his wives.
Oh, my God.
That's
creepy.
Oh, yeah. He had a place called the Jimmy House. And it had, and you could donate money to the Jimmy. And I'm thinking, you know, this guy, you know, the Alistair, I was thinking the same thing, you know, back then. I'm like, wow, man.
And you know, Jimmy can have another not so wholesome meaning to it, too. That does. Oh, man, that's bad. That's bad. I hope this is not what I think it is, but it's got pedo written all over it. Pedo ring.
Yeah. Well,
I hope that's not
in Brazil. Well, he saw a lot of.
You don't get knighted, though, for being a good boy. That's for goddamn sure.
He was knighted for his charity work in Brazil, and there's a lot of homeless children in Brazil, especially around Rio. They had death squads where they were killing children at one time there because the kids were like panhandling and pickpocketing. Again, cops were going and killing.
So, we got a break coming in. You want to hold on?
I'll talk to you later, Charlie.
Okay. Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you later. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Commercials on Renegade Broadcasting?
Ugh, I have heard this damn Noel Ignatieff clip 6 million times. I get it already.
Well, we need your help to create new, exciting, and enlightening content for our breaks. Find yourself a decent microphone or borrow one from somebody else. Look up some royalty-free music or let us do it for you. Just get creative. Make the commercials 40 seconds long to fit our schedule. Winners will have their commercials played on the air and also receive some great prizes. For more details, please go to renegadebroadcasting.com/contest.
All right, guys, welcome back. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that. You would hope that that's not the case, but that doesn't look good. That he got knighted for having that home? No, no, that smells very, very foul. And he calls it the Jimmy House? Wow. Wow, wow. The place where you go to get jimmied? It just doesn't sound good, guys. It doesn't sound good at all. And look how screwed up this fucking world of ours is. You know, you got, you know, Gates getting praised for his so-called humanitarian work, providing free or inexpensive vaccines to people in third world countries. Oh, what a great humanitarian, when he's fucking killing them, you know? And then you get something like this, if in fact that's what this is. Page is getting praised in the media for helping young kids, you know, orphan kids. When in fact, most likely, guys, this smells very foul to me. It's most likely it was a fucking pedal ring. And there he is getting knighted. You don't get knighted, guys, for doing something good. I mean, that's just, you know, it's like the Nobel Prize. You don't get that unless you're a piece of stenching, steaming shit. Anyway. But, you know, what's wrong with this picture? Here he is, the guy, you know, he made it big. One of the most greatest guitar players of all time, you know, popular, made his multiplied millions of dollars. And sure, he lived a pretty wild, crazy ass life. You know, of course, his Crowley shit and all that. You could almost just forget all that and forgive somebody later on in life if they've now gotten older and wiser and they've given up that and come clean and said, you know, yeah, I made some stupid mistakes. I've done some bad things in the past. I can't change them, but I've learned from them, and, I want to do something better with my life now. Well, you know, whatever, right? I want to be a more positive influence. But that's not what happens 99.9% of the time with these fucking people, guys. They seem to get even worse as they get older. Till their dying day. Look at Daddy Gates there that just kicked the bucket. Good fucking riddance to him, what was it, 2 weeks back? Yeah, he was a major freaking eugenics dysgenics advocate, you know, his whole life. And Junior is now picking up the torch where Daddy left off. Right till their dying day, they're pieces of shit. Look at Soros, guys. What is he, 92, 3, 4, whatever the frig? Till his dying day, he's going to continue to support, communist pushing, rebel rousing, freaking terrorists, supporting them and advocating for completely criminal, inhuman frickin' causes. Remember the days when you used to think that, you know, wisdom came with age, respect your elders, you know, not that we still shouldn't do that, but there's a great many elders out there that are not worthy of respect. They don't fit that paradigm at all, guys. Age has not taught them wisdom. It's taught them how to be more fucking sleazy as time goes on. It's pathetic. These people are not human beings, which is why should we have the honor of purging the earth of them. That's not murder, guys. Murder is when you kill a fellow human being. These fucking people aren't human. That's cleaning, doing your friggin' spring cleaning. Anyways, enough of that. All right, let's get to these notes here. Jesus, the show's half over. So we left off last week talking about, I'm hoping to at least get this first set of notes finished tonight, and then tomorrow, next week, to get into the really, the big stuff, the real heart of this Beatles discussion. That's where things are going to get really crazy. But this is crazy enough. We left off last week, but talking about, you know, their pushing of the drug theme, right? Of course, just about every band in the 60s was pushing that, whether they were really into it or not, whether they wanted to or not, doesn't matter. But clearly the Beatles were into drugs, no question. They weren't just pushing something that they themselves weren't into. You know, you had, I mentioned Yellow Submarine, right? That was a reference to a hit of Speed. Hey Jude, remember to let it under your skin, you'll begin to feel better. Then, of course, there's the Day Tripper song, right? It's obvious what that's talking about. How about these lyrics? I get high with a little help from my friends, right? There was a promotion photo that was released just prior to the Yellow Submarine album, which showed Ringo and Harrison holding a cardboard Yellow Submarine while the other two stood, you know, in front of them. And in that picture, Paul is making a 666 hand sign, you know, where you put the, how do you do it now? The index finger and the thumb together to make like an O shape. And then the other three fingers are spread apart above the O so that you get the three sixes. You know what I'm saying? The other three fingers are like the tail of the six. So when you spread them out like that, that symbol pops up all over the place. A lot of corporate symbols use that. But you see a lot of rock stars, and this has been going on for decades on end, making that sign. It's just, they're telling you who, you know, who they are, what they represent. They're into the dark, foreboding, evil, anti-human, freaking Kabbalistic occultism. Anyway. So you've got, McCartney making that hand sign, and then you have Lennon in that same picture making the Baphomet sign, which is basically a fist with the pinky and the index finger pointing up. You got the thumb folded over the other two fingers. You know, that's your classic occultic Baphomet hand sign. There's Lennon making it. How many times, guys? Musicians have been seen doing this. Politicians do it. Even freaking religious leaders do it. Pat Robertson has done it. On his 700 Club show while in the middle of a prayer, right? He puts his hand up and he's making that sign and he says, I beseech you, Lord. And as he says, Lord, he, you know, plunges his hand forward toward the camera on purpose so that you'll know what Lord he's actually talking about, right? These people are sick bastards. And this goes right by most people. There's another one, you know, I mentioned this before, Benny Hinn, you know, son of hell. Benny Hinn is having this faith healing service, you know, and he's got his hand over this woman's head as he's praying for her to be healed. And there he is. Bingo. He's making the freaking Baphomet hand sign right over her head as he's praying. Oh, my God. Right in front of people. That's the same guy, don't forget, who in the middle of a tongues ecstatic utterance says, receive the mark of the beast. Remember that one? He's going off into this babbling rant, you know. He says it really fast so that most people wouldn't catch it, right? But there it is, clear as day. You can look that up. It's all over YouTube. He actually says, receive the mark of the beast. You got freaking kidding. Not that that even means anything. I mean, you know, the Bible's full of shit, right? But they do this on purpose because they stand for everything that's evil. And so because most people interpret the mark of the beast as something evil, that's why they do it. Christians jump on that and think they're of the devil and they're evil. Yes, but that doesn't legitimize your religion. God damn it. That's what's so frustrating. That's what's so goddamn frustrating. They'll point to that and make it look like Christianity is legit. Oh, knock it off. They only do it to get a rise out of you and to demonstrate that, yes, they are evil, but that doesn't make your book legitimate. Your book's evil too. Bottom line, if you're against evil, you've got to give that garbage up too. Anyways, moving on. Still another promotion photo from the same album shows Lennon making two Baphomet hand signs. There goes that sign again. And then McCartney makes circles with both thumbs and index fingers around both eyes, kind of like the all-seeing eye thing that you see all the time. But he was doing it with both eyes. But, you know, in that context with the Baphomet sign, it's not some harmless little kid thing he was doing. No, this all has a definite meaning to it. It's all pushing occultism. And notice on these two album promotion photos, it's McCartney and Lennon that are doing it. Ringo and Harrison seem to have been somewhat out of the loop on this, kind of like with Zeppelin, you know, if you've ever seen their movie, Song Remains the Same. Everyone has every band member has a little spot in the film where they, you know, they do a little clip that kind of shows what, you know, their private life is like, you know. So Page had a totally occult theme. You know, he's supposed to be like the Grim Reaper, and he's going back, you know, as a child, then he becomes a baby, and next thing you know, it's a picture of him in the mother's womb, and then he grows older again, you know, and becomes an old man. It's all occult, right? Plant, he's some hero with a sword or something, which, you know, I don't have a problem with it, but it still has occultic leanings. You know, there's some symbols that he uses. Anyway, the same with John Paul Jones, you know, during No Quarter, shows his segment, and he's wearing this hideous looking mask, and it's just foreboding, dark, occultic type shit. But yet, when you get to John Bonham, he's on his farm, driving his tractor around, and you know, having his kid on his lap and smiling, and out in the field playing around. You know what I mean? Just a family kind of guy. He was not in the occult. There's no question about it. And I always had a problem with that years ago when he died. You know, how is it that he happened to die the only one that wasn't into the occult? Was something fishy going on there? I still wonder that in the back of my mind. But so it is with the Beatles guys. It looks like Lennon and McCartney were the only two that were really heavy into this shit. And the other ones kind of just were dragged along into it. Anyway, certainly they were the ones mostly making these occultic symbolic gestures. The Beatles idolized some pretty unsavory characters, like Karl Marx, for example. Well, we talked, caller called in last week talking about, you know, the Frankfurt School, and you know, I mentioned the well, what the hell is it now? I can't even think now. My brain is fried. But anyway, you know, there's been a lot of we talked about the song Revolution, right? And you know, they mentioned Russia, you know, back in the USSR, and it's obvious that they're pushing a communist theme. You know whose hands are behind that? There's no question about it, guys. I read from John Lennon's song Imagine. He didn't write those lyrics. I don't care what anybody says, including the late John Lennon himself. Those aren't his lyrics. I'm not saying that they're not to blame, that they didn't play some kind of active role, but they didn't write those lyrics. A Jew wrote those lyrics. No question. It's got Jew written all over them. Anyway, so they definitely idolized people like Karl Marx. According to the book, The Beatles Bible, on July 28, 1968, they expressed a desire to be photographed by Marx's tomb in the Highgate Cemetery. Why would they request that? No wonder they sang lyrics like, you know, back in the USSR, you don't know how lucky you are. Think about that. How the hell could they make a statement like that? What could have been lucky to be living in the USSR, guys? It was a hellhole, a communist freaking nightmare, right? Back in the USSR, you don't know how lucky you are. Wow. If they were real, sincere, they would be singing about how lucky we are to not be in the USSR. Anyway. Of course, the Beatles also idolized other incredibly unsavory characters. On the Sgt. Pepper's cover, this featured people's faces such as, yes, Mr. Aleister freaking Crowley. There he is. He's on the Sgt. Pepper's band, club band cover. Carl Jung is also featured on there. Aldous Huxley. Lewis Carroll, notorious pedo that wrote Alice in Wonderland, right? Lewis Carroll, what the hell is honorable about him? Why? What? Look at the message that, again, whether they personally pick these people or it was foisted on them by their freaking Jewish masters. It doesn't matter, guys. Unfortunately, you know, by having it put on their album, they're endorsing it. You know what I'm saying? If they had any moral fortitude about them, they would have bowed out. No, all right, well, I'm quitting the band or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't want that kind of crap on an album that, you know, is going to go out to the world, to our fans, and you know, have that represent who we are. At least I'm not going to have it represent who I am. H.G. Wells, another major freaking stenching piece of shit, a member of the British Fabian Socialist Society. He wrote the book, 1939, New World Order, don't forget, in which he said, many will protest the New World Order and will die doing so. Sigmund freaking Freud? There was a Shirley Temple doll wearing a blood-stained, wearing some blood-stained gloves also featured on that album cover. Karl Marx, of course, is featured, and good old Bob Dylan, who proudly admitted, of course, that he, quote, sold his soul to the devil, you know, for fame. Remember that? So, I mean, just look at some of these unsavory characters here. What kind of message are they sending to young people, you know? Anyway, we got caller on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Yeah, Charlie, I just called you back. I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but I couldn't help but call you back on some of this stuff. I've listened to a lot of interviews, you know, and stuff about the Beatles and personal interviews. And I heard one with John Lennon one time, and he said he was out in the country at his vacation home with his son. He didn't see his son very much, and he had Yoko with him, I guess. And some homeless man kept following him around and asking him, hey, man, what did you mean by this? And he said he took the guy in and had dinner with him and all. And he was like, the guy was creeping him out. You know, he thought the guy was a stalker. And he said, he told him, he goes, man, it's just words, you know, it's just art. It's just things that come out of my head that don't mean anything.
Yeah, that's what they always say, right.
Yeah, I mean, so we might overthink some of, you know, the guy's, oh, he's a fucking heroin addict. But yeah, I mean, some of this stuff does have meaning. I know Come Together is lyrics that he ripped off from Chuck Berry when he says, come on, flat top, moving up. That's a Chuck Berry song. He stole half that song, by the way, if you look into that.
But, not to nitpick every single thing, but the point is, in the bigger picture here, there's a trend, and especially with these pictures on the cover of you know, the album I was talking about, it all of them are hardcore pro, you know, Jew World Order globalist slash communist slash Jew ass licking.
I agree totally. Yeah, 100%. And you know, when you talk about Imagine, that song. You know, I hit on that with you before when I was going to church a lot. We had a pastor, he says, if you listen to these lyrics, he says, someday he'll join us and the world will live as one. And he depicted it as, you know, that's, he's singing about the Antichrist, you know. You know, and yeah, I mean, it kind of does. It does kind of sound something like that, you know, if you listen to it.
Right.
Below us, which I like that lyric.
I'd be the first to say that, you know, a world government in an ideal world would be a great thing, right? If it was led by honest, decent people. The problem is we don't live in an ideal world, especially with Jews running it. But even without the Jew factor, it still wouldn't be a good idea because of human weaknesses and frailties. You know, corruption still would ultimately slip its way in there. It would, not to the extent when you have Jews running it, but it would, you know. It's a danger to have too much power concentrated in too few hands.
They've always shot down the idea of utopia. You've always heard utopia. Oh, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. People can't. Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's probably about 1,000 years of history that's been covered. I think that there's enough food, I believe, to feed every. I think there's enough resources.
Oh,
there's enough space, but we're told differently. And
I think we did have it thousands of years ago. The Egyptians talked about a period called Zeptepi, in which, you know, peace reigned and everyone was happy. And we had a year-round planting season, so the climate was much different. I think the Earth at one time wasn't actually tipped 23 degrees like it is now, 23 and a half.
But I don't know where to go. I mean, you know, 57 years old, you hear all these things. You know, anarchy, is anarchy the way to go? And some people say the Vikings were anarchists. Yeah, but they raided and killed and raped. I mean, I don't know. What system do you go by? You know, I still like to say I'm American. We live here. I heard a video the other day, a black guy goes, I'm not black. I don't even go with my color. I'm American. That felt so good to hear a black dude say that.
But, yeah. You know, we are here. We can't help our past. You can't go back and fix it. But,
right.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back on it, one more thing I'll tell you about the John Bonham. I heard an interview on YouTube about that. He was talking about, you know, that President's album where they had that little statue on the President's album?
Yeah, obelisk or whatever, sure. Yeah.
He said that his wife brought that home. He was on the road, and they brought it to her, and she had it in the house, and the kids were all singing with her, and she recorded it. And when they played this, you know, them singing together, there was another voice on there. He said it was so
really?
Creepy
no
that
kidding.
He threw the thing out. He just threw the thing out of the house. I don't think.
Wow.
I agree. I don't think he was one of those either that was into any of that spooky crap, you know, or I guess they were into Lord of the Rings, Plant was or whatever. But yeah, the whole, you know, and I'm a musician. I've learned, I kind of think, because I played music for 30 years. I played this weekend. I know the drums, you can do a certain thing on the drums, man, and you'll have a fight in that fucking bar. I've seen it, man. Like that Indian beat, boom, boom. Yeah, I mean, music is really, it is kind of like a spell. It really does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get a look. I heard another
thing. That could be a good thing, too, but all too often it seems to be a bad thing, yeah.
Right. I mean, we could still be, you know, I heard another interview with Jim Morrison. And this is in 1970, he made an interview. It's on Facebook, I mean, on Facebook, on YouTube somewhere. And he says that all this stuff is just crap. He just says, you know, they play the same 30 songs on the radio every day, and you're conditioned to think that's good. And it's really all shit. You know, he's being honest. Yeah. You got to give him credit. Now, he's a piece of shit, too, from what I hear, but he was being honest about it.
Right.
We're conditioned
to
what we hear coming out of these boxes, Charlie. So we could go back and be listening to classical music. I appreciate that more and more now. I like flamenco guitar. I like, you know, Segovia. Have you ever heard of him? I like, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he's great.
What I do hear coming back is just piano and singing. When I hear stuff like Adele or I hear just an instrument and a voice, that if we can get back to that, that's a lot more beautiful than all this layers of shit. But it seems pop has taken over everything, so. There is no category for white people. It's all, you know, everybody wants to be black, man. I mean, I see it with these girls, these young girls and all. And the white girls, they like the black guys, man. And the rednecks around here, they're going down the road with, listening to you know, rap shit. You know, it's just, I don't know. But that's how culture, they shape everything. The Beatles were a big part of that. I do believe that. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think they're a big part because they said within a couple of years, all of society changed in the 60s. I mean, Jim Morrison said that in an interview because when I was going to college, everything changed within a year. It's like the whole world changed just because of their music, you know? So
as soon as they see that you're starting to gain popularity, or sometimes they give you popularity if you've already sold yourself to them. But if you haven't, once they see that you're climbing on the charts, they're going to make sure they have complete control over you. They can't take the chance of someone becoming popular and being an opposition force. Can't do it.
I think the social engineers, they saw in the 50s what was happening. And when 60s come along, you know, they just love this. We'll get a hold of this. We'll just destroy everything. And they did it with the hippie movement. And all we know now that was part of CIA, FBI.
Sure.
They were doing a lot of the protests and everything. We're finding this out now, later, thanks to the internet, which they hate. And, anyway, I'll let you go, Charlie. Good show, man. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. All right, guys, we got another caller on the line. Welcome to the show, Colin.
Yeah, hey, Charlie, I'll make this quick, man. This is Sean. I just want to make a clarification. I figured that other guy would call back in. But the Jerky Boys were like a professional, like prank calling little operation. And the Beastie Boys were a white rap band. Okay, so they're two different things.
Oh,
so the guy was making a mistake.
Okay.
They were kind of a crash. Right. They called. They did these prank calls. They're like New Yorkers.
I was getting them mixed up myself. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they did this real crass act. You know, my sister used to like them. I never liked them that much. I just thought it was kind of juvenile. But they did a lot of prank calls.
Right.
They do these whole, like, diss, you know. Anyway, so I just wanted to say that.
Did you ever hear that prank caller, Ned? He went by the name of Ned.
No, I've never heard that.
No? Yeah, see, you can look him up. He was pretty funny. He called up, years ago, there was a story where the cops, it cost, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars. They sent a helicopter out to get some donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. Remember that? There was a big scandal about it. And so he called up the police department, and he was really hacking away at him. It was pretty good. But
there was
nowadays, you couldn't do that.
No, well, this one's almost borders on not funny, but those jackass guys early on, I remember they put like a little baby carrier on top of a car and would drive off. you know, just with a fake baby in it, just to see what people would do.
It's
a little overboard. Sometimes you can get to a point where a practical joke's not really funny anymore. So it's kind of
right.
That one other thing that I wanted to say on what somebody has said before is like, it's funny. I too was a libertarian. Now I am just about pretty much an anarchist because there is no such thing as good government. It always goes foul after a while. Anyway, hey man, I don't want to take any more of your time. Thank you so much for taking my call. Great show as usual.
All right. Thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
Take care, yep. And we got, let's see, I think Tony's on the line again. What's up, Tony? Are you there, Tony? I think your phone's on mute again.
I'm sorry, I had the mute on. I'm sorry. Am I coming through? Okay,
yep.
Real quick, and I'm sorry for this to interrupt, but I just had to correct Sean there. By the way, I like Sean. I'm not trying to attack him or anything. The Beastie Boys were not a white rap group. They were a Jewish rap group. Just want to make that correction.
Oh, really?
Put that through. Okay. Thank you. Sorry for tying you up. Please continue. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. They got their finger in every pie, don't they? Anyway, also on the same album cover I was talking about, study carefully the patterns on the clothing of the Fabulous Four. You can clearly see the letters S-E-X traced out subtly, but they're there. Two times, as a matter of fact. So there's some more subtle, subconscious manipulation going on there. Most people, you don't see this consciously, but subconsciously you do. I did a show on that years back talking about subliminal messages, you know. And usually people associate that with actual music, you know. And certainly it does apply there. There's a lot of subtle messages that make their way into songs, but they do it with imagery too. A lot of commercials do this to, you know, get you to buy crap. Supposedly it's been made illegal, but bullshit, it still goes on. If the price is right, you can get away with it. Anyway, got a break coming in. All right, guys, stick with us. Right back.
Jewish professor Noel Ignatieff.
My concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression, sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacy. In the same way, if you abolish racial oppression, you do away with whiteness. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity.
Your views are fairly well received in academia.
Yes, they're legitimate. Not to say that everyone agrees, but sure. And the task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce itself.
Guys, welcome back. So regarding Crowley, don't forget that his main theme was do what thou wilt, right? That was the mantra of his Thelema society. Thelema, of course, means will in Greek. So do what thou wilt. With this in mind, take a look at what John Lennon had once said. The whole Beatles idea was to do what you want. Do what thou willst, he said, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. Well, I'm glad he put that doesn't hurt somebody part in there. But nevertheless, where did he get this idea? Do what thou willst or what thou wilt. He got it from Mr. Crowley, guys. Anyway, in further regards to Crowley, take note of, this is from an old Beat magazine article in 1961 that Lennon wrote, in which he stated, many people ask, what are the Beatles? Why Beatles? How did the name arrive? So we will tell you. It came in a vision. A man appeared on a flaming pie and said unto them, from this day on, you are Beatles with an A. Thank you, Mr. Man, they said. Mr. Man? Who do you suppose this Mr. Man is? Can you guess? Mr. Crowley, folks. As it turns out, Aleister Crowley once wrote a book called The Winged Beetle. And where did they get that from? Guys, this goes back to Hyksosian Egypt once again, guys. The scarab beetle was often featured in Egyptian art. It was used for, clay stamps and whatnot, right? I actually have one in my artifacts collection. Anyway, this is all harkening back to the hijacking of Egypt by the Hyksos. That's why occultists are so fascinated, like Crowley with the winged beetle. Anyway, surely this is the source for the name from McCartney's post-Beatle band, Wings. Paul McCartney and Wings, the winged beetle. Or the winged disc, too, is another popular theme that was used by the Hyksos in ancient Egypt. That's what's over the Jewish cemetery in Newport that I mentioned the other day. Anyway, interestingly, the Beatles are one of the first pioneers to use backward masking in their recordings. In songs such as Revolution 9, from their White Album, I'm Only Sleeping, Tomorrow Never Knows, Rain, and number 9, Dream. Interesting that number 9 popped up in two of their songs, Revolution 9 and number 9, Dream. 9 is a big cult number. Crowley was big on that one. Anyway, with this thought in mind, notice what Aleister Crowley once said in his book, Magic, spelled with a K, M-A-G-I-C-K. And he did that because he wanted to distinguish his magic from other magic. He said that himself, that, some people have a harmless view of magic. He wanted to make it clear that his magic was not harmless. It was fucking evil. And if you ever read any of the shit he wrote, you know what he was talking about. Anyway, he said, train him to think backwards by external means. Listen to phonograph records reversed and let him so accustom himself to these that they appear natural and appreciable as a whole. This is one of the reasons why so many rock bands who were, infatuated with Crowley engaged in this practice of backward masking. Zeppelin, of course, was really big with it. Page being the big Crowley fan that he was. Several songs have backward messages. I remember years ago, once I heard about the Stairway to Heaven thing, I recorded a bunch of Zeppelin songs and then I, played them in reverse. And there were quite a few. That the song Over the Hills and Far Away has a spooky backward message. The part where it says, many is a word that only leaves you guessing about a thing you really ought to know. You play that backwards and it says, he is not mistaken. And then it's kind of garbled. It can't make it out too good. But you hear the word Satan mixed in there. It's like, holy crap. Kind of makes your skin crawl, when you listen to this stuff. It's very eerie. But another reason for the backward messaging, well, there's a lot of reasons, but Crowley was infatuated with turning everything upside down. So if you did things in reverse, it messes with the mind. It goes against the grain. And isn't that what the tribe is all about? Naturally. Turn everything in reverse. And, you know, there's actually been studies. I did a whole show one time on backward masking that the subconscious mind can actually pick that up as well. Your subconscious mind can pick up ultrasonics that you can't audibly hear consciously. But the studies have shown that you actually can discern messages that are encoded with ultrasonics. You know, stuff that like a dog can hear, but you can't. You actually do hear it. You just don't perceive it. You know what I mean? But you're still picking up those vibrations. And it still has an effect on the mind. It's pretty scary shit. Anyway, the Sgt. Pepper album cover was also supposed to feature a picture of both Marquis de Sade, you know, where we get the expression sadist from, right? That sick bastard from the 19th century that had repulsive art. Some of you might remember I did a show on the Black Dahlia, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years ago, and how the murderer, the real murderer, I don't think his name, I was a Jew, naturally. Oh, shit, what was his name now? Damn it. It escapes me. It's been a while since I looked at those notes. But anyway, he was a Jew. His son actually wrote a book exposing, you know, after his father died, he started going through his father's things, and he was finding stuff that just blew him away. He didn't know his father was into this sick art. You know, he had a bunch of de Sade paintings he had bought, and he had made some sick drawings, and things just weren't adding up, you know. So we started asking around and talking to some still living friends of his, and they were very elusive, you know. They didn't want to answer a lot of his questions. Anyway, it's a really good book. And after years of investigating, he discovered he used to work for the LAPD. And so he still had access to some police files, you know. And so he went back into the police files and he found out that the LAPD knew Hodel. That's it. George Hodel. Hey, I'm not fucking senile after all. Not yet. Anyway, George Hodel. That's it. H-O-D-E-L. Fucking Jew. So he went back into the L.A. police records, and he discovered that the LAPD knew the whole goddamn time. They knew his father was the murderer, but they didn't do anything about it because, A, they were running a protection racket type thing where he was paying them thousands, I guess, a month for them to keep their mouths shut. And B, they also didn't want to say anything because they were afraid that he was going to blow the lid off of the fact that many police officers went to him you know, to have their girlfriends get abortions that they impregnated. And that was, you know, that was a big scandal back then, right? And of course, they didn't want their marriages to end. But even beyond that, even if they weren't married, you know, there was still a scandal to get a woman pregnant out of wedlock, right? So they were going to him on the QT. but they knew almost from the word go, shortly after the murders, they knew it was him. And they turned a blind eye. He found out that his father was responsible, and another guy he worked with, for several other murders in the area. And he wonders now if he might have actually, you know, once he moved out of the L.A. area, if he continued on and murdered in other areas, too. Maybe he'll write another book. But anyway, very, very interesting. How did I get off on that tangent? Oh, yeah, he was into de Sade as well, you know. So now to find out the Beatles are also into him. They didn't include his picture on the album, but originally one of the first drafts for the cover did feature him. They were going to do it, but for whatever reason, they decided against it. But does it really matter? Look at the other trash they have on there. Freaking Crowley. Come on. Crowley was just as evil as the Sad. Anyway, Bertrand Russell was another one that they were supposed to have on that cover. I guess apparently they didn't do it, but he was supposed to be on there. He was a sick bastard. Don't forget, he's the guy that wrote back in 1957 the book The Impact of Science on Society, where he talked about what Brzezinski later on called the technocratic society, right? That, you know, in the future, there's going to be a scientific dictatorship. Technology will be exploited to, you know, enforce totalitarian control on the entire world citizenry. And he was all for it. He was all for it. And so, you know, these are the kind of people that the Beatles idolized. In 1966, McCartney said of Bertrand Russell, he said, "Russell seems all right. I wouldn't mind being like him at all." That's pretty pathetic. You know, that old expression, you can tell what someone is like from the company they keep. Well, not that they kept company with him, you know, he was dead by that time, but in a sense, they kept company, right? They were chums with the guy ideologically, and same with Crowley, right? He was dead, but they were chums with him, you could say. The Magic Mystery Tour album contains lettering in rainbow colors. That's a big-time occult theme right there, isn't it? But anyway, interestingly, Lennon was killed exactly 13 years to the day after the release of this album. Don't you find that just a little bit strange? Not because the number 13 is bad luck, but because the number 13 is a big, highly popular occult number. And you're going to tell me it's just a coincidence that to the day he was murdered 13 years later? Abbey Road contains two sun-themed songs, big, again, in the Kabbalistic occult world. They are Sun King and Here Comes the Sun. So, again, it sounds harmless. It sounds like, oh, yeah, it's just talking about a beautiful, nice, sunny day, you know. But is that really, knowing their occult leanings, right, is that really the meaning? Was it something else going on, you know? And this goes back, once again, to Hyksosian Egypt, right? Who was the sun god that they looked forward to, that Akhenaten was featured greeting every morning, bowing before it with the rays beating down on him, you know? It was the Aten, which, once again, transliterated from the Hebrew, is Adon. Adonai, guys. Remember the show I did on that shit last year? It's several shows. Anyway, Lennon specifically appears to have had strong, you know, I talked about the homosexual theme last week, right? And again, I, you know, not that I'm a, what some would call a homophobe. I detest the rabid homosexual community, you know, with their flagrant waving of their bare ass and, you know, in down Main Street in a parade. But not like I used to be as a Bible dude thinking that, oh, you're a sinner if you're gay. You know, I've grown up now and matured and realized that there are people who are not gay by choice, and a very good many of them aren't even happy being gay. I don't have to go through that again. You already know where I stand on that. But anyway, Lennon specifically appears to have had strong homosexual tendencies. And like I said, I personally don't really care. But when you're a musician, especially in that era when this was not accepted, he was playing the part of trying to push it and normalize it. That's the problem, guys. That's the problem. It's not normal. You know, I can have sympathy for someone who's gay and not be judgmental toward them. But when they try to be militant, like I call it, you know, and want to push it on people and make it normal, it's not normal. Sorry, it's not. A lot of homosexuals admit it's not normal, like I said, and a lot of them aren't happy with it themselves. My ex-brother-in-law, who died several years back, was open, you know, with his homosexuality, but he wasn't happy about it. He went to a counselor till his dying day to try to come to terms with it. It's sad. You know, he lived a very, very sad life. He was smiling all the time and joking around, but inside he wasn't. He was not happy at all. It's really sad, you know. But, you know, I feel bad for people like that. I don't have a problem with people like that. It's when they want to push it and normalize it. And so that's what was going on here. It was being not so flagrantly because it still wasn't widely accepted, but they were playing an early role in pushing this. And it's, you know, it's another part of occultism. In the early Beatles days, Stu Sutcliffe played bass for the band, for the Beatles. Lennon definitely had a thing for this individual. there are numerous pictures of them, you know, arm in arm, for instance. It's just something's not right there. There's obviously something, you know, he was definitely bisexual. Stu's sister, Pauline, has actually come out and said that there was most definitely a fling going on between the two of them. They both wrote a song together with these lyrics. As I stood on the doorstep of romance, you told me, then you threw your arms around me and you gave me, yes, gave me, you gave me peace of mind. This sounds like something out of the Old Testament, you know, David and Jonathan. Remember the, oh my God, I loved you as a man loves a woman. And then, you know, he's said to have given him a kiss. I mean, it's disgusting. From a book that rabidly anti-homosexual, almost paranoid anti-homosexual Christians quote from, claiming that it's totally opposed to homosexuality, right? And yet you get crap like that. But hey, while we're on the subject, let me not forget to remind you of the many instances where Jesus is shown, you know, with disciples, for example, in the, you know, the upper room during the Last Supper. The disciple whom he loved, it says, was reclining on his breast. Then before that, in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a scene where as the crowd approached to arrest Jesus, it says, I think it was Peter. It says he ran off naked for he dropped his you know, he had a thing wrapped around his waist or whatever, and that's all he was wearing. And when he saw them coming, he dropped his robe. It's just there's something wrong there, guys. There's another passage about I don't have to go into this. I did a whole show on it before, but you just got to love it how Christians are so adamantly opposed to homosexuality, and yet, you know, some of their biggest icons in that book are portrayed as flagrant homosexuals. The irony of it all. But then again, they like to portray their God as loving, right? And yet, if you read the book for what it says, he was a tyrannical, mass-murdering son of a bitch. Anyway, in 1962, at the age of only 21, Stu died from a brain tumor or a brain hemorrhage. His girlfriend, Astrid Kircher, sounds like a Jew name to me, wrote to her mother saying, "John is in a terrible mood now. He just can't believe that darling Stuart never comes back. He's just crying his eyes out. John is marvelous to me. He says that he knows Stuart so much and he loves him so much." So, you know, it's very, very obvious something more was going on there. But like I said, I personally don't care. But this does tie in with the occult theme, guys. The occult world, they don't just want to push homosexuality. They want to push, look at the LGBT and ultimately the pedo thing, right? Anything that's perverse and corrupt, that's abnormal, they want to normalize it. You know, look how they push autism with the vaccines. They love it, guys. Absolutely. For many reasons, psychotic reasons, mostly. They want abnormal people. The abnormal people aren't a threat to them. They can exploit them and make money off them. You know, did you know the average autistic child is worth anywhere, depending on the behavior disorders that they have and how severe they are, they're worth between $25,000 and $250,000 a year. Actually, those are 10-year-old statistics. I'm sure it's even freaking a lot more than that now. But 10 years ago, they were worth $25,000 to $250,000 a year. So now it's probably $50,000 to $500,000 a year, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's big money, big money. I used to work with autistic kids, and the bastard who ran the thing he was a business major, right? So he started this business and made a hell of a lot of money. At one point, he was the highest paid individual in the human services field at the time, just back in the mid-90s. He was making like $200,000 a year. Nobody in the entire country, they even did an article on him, and I don't know, I think it was Forbes or something. Nobody in the entire country in the human services field made that much money. And yet he had the final say in writing the programs of all of the autistic kids in his program, right? He had authority over all of the psychologists, the psychiatrists, you know, whatever, blah, 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 behavior specialists. It's so fucked up. Why? Just because he had a lot of money and he was the big cheese, the big man on campus? It's like Bill Gates having the say in vaccines. He's the man to consult on every freaking news outlet in the country. And yet, all he is a fucking computer hacker. Really? Anyway, I'm going off on a lot of tangents tonight. And it looks like, son of a bitch, I'm not going to finish this set of notes. I'm going to try to do, to quote my hero, Donald Trump, I'm going to try to do warp speed next week and finish this set of notes so I can get into part two, because part two is where this thing really kicks in, guys. There's some crazy stuff coming up. Anyway, in the few minutes we have left here, the story gets stranger and uglier still. Stu's sister also said that Lennon beat up her brother out of guilt over their homosexual relationship, apparently out of anger as well, perhaps because Stu breathed word of it to someone about their homosexual relationship. So it was like an abusive type of a love affair. Just really, really twisted, really bizarre. You know, again, for you Beatles fans, this might be something that you want to, you know, poo-poo away. And hey, no, we've got to realize we live in a fucked up world. Again, you know, I love Jimmy Page's guitar playing, but hearing now that he ran that goddamn orphanage really disturbs me. I got to look into that. It doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at all. To me, it sounds like a fucking pedo ring. So again, even though I'm a big fan of Zeppelin music, I got to be realistic, guys. You know, when you enter that world, and it's a Jew-run world, the music industry, pretty much every industry, when you get into that, you're just not yourself anymore, you know. I've been watching some videos a friend of mine sent me. I've seen them years ago, too, but, you know, a friend of mine sent me a couple of videos of Jimmy Page when he was, when he was on some British TV show back in the 50s when he was 12, and there's another one he's being interviewed when he's like, I don't know, 17, 18 or whatever. And you look at him, and he's just such an innocent kid, you know, and it's like, wow, this is the guy that got into Aleister Crowley, bought Aleister Crowley's Boleskine Mansion in Scotland and the Loch Ness, you know. It's just hard to believe, but yeah, at that time, obviously, he wasn't into this shit then. It wasn't until he got himself immersed into the music scene that they freaking ruined him. You know, this is what it does. This is what fame and fortune will do. There's a price to pay. You literally sell your soul, whether you openly acknowledge it or not. That's what winds up happening. You sell your soul in the sense that you're not your own person anymore. You know, they transform you into their ugly, demonic image, if I can use that word. Anyway, Pauline, the sister, said that it was Lennon's blows to the head that ultimately caused Stu's death a few weeks later, you know, the brain hemorrhage. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So that would sort of make him a murderer, right? But not according to the Jew book, though, because the Jew book says that if you beat your slave and he doesn't die within 2 days, then it's okay. So Stu didn't die within 2 days, so he's not a murderer, apparently. Jeez, Christ. You know that shit's in there? It's in Exodus 21. Go look it up. For any Bible dupes out there listening, which I doubt Bible dupes would listen to my show, but go look it up in your wonderful holy book, along with a whole lot of other detestable shit. Anyway, this would certainly explain Lennon's subsequent self-loathing, depression, rage, drug use, and, you know, spiritual searching that began shortly after this time, right? I think he was, you know, it hit him what he had done, that he actually was responsible for the death of this, quote, lover of his. You know, must have eaten away at him. But the whole scene, guys, it's bad. It's bad. Very, very few people have ever climbed, quote, to the top, if you can call that the top, and have maintained their humanity, you know. Most everybody that quote, makes it, if you can consider that making it, that's how you want to define it. But few people who, you know, get to that point come away with their soul intact, if you will. Anyway, Lennon was apparently a loose cannon and certainly had the capacity to commit violent even deadly acts. According to Wikipedia, quote, Lennon later related a story to friends about how he had mugged a drunken English sailor in a Hamburg street for money. And after having beaten him so badly, he left him for dead. I didn't know this until I started researching this show about a year ago. I had no idea. This is pretty sad. Anyway, another caller. We only got another minute or so left, but welcome to the show, caller.
Charlie, yeah. I just looked it up. Just look up Jimmy Page Charity on Google. Just Google it. Jimmy Page Charity in 2015. But another thing you didn't know, his father was a Freemason. He was with Scotland Yard. He was a cop. His mother was into witchcraft. That's it. I read that in the book.
There you go.
Hammer of the Gods. Have you ever heard of Hammer of the Gods? It's a magazine.
Yeah, I actually read that years ago. Long time ago.
I read that. And I believe I read it in there, and I read it in another magazine back when I was a kid. I was learning all this stuff like
TV. Early 80s.
I was in the same shit you were in, man. I'll let you go, buddy. I mean, call you three times, but I had to tell you about that.
Yeah. No, thanks. I'm going to look it up. Excellent.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Yeah, take care. Oh, yeah, Hammer of the Gods. Jeez, I don't even have that anymore. But I remember buying that when that first came out. I think it was around 1981 or so. No, it was 83. I remember exactly now. Yep, 83. That was just when I started getting into my party years. That's when I became a hardcore Zeppelin fan, when I first started playing guitar, you know, the whole nine. Yeah, I remember. Of course, when I read that, I was wet behind the ears. I don't remember probably 90% of what was in there. So I bet it would be interesting to get another copy of that and read it again. There's probably a lot of interesting little tidbits in there. But yeah, I don't remember hearing that his mother was into witchcraft. Well, maybe he wasn't so innocent then in those early videos of his. He already had some occultic influence there in the home. And his dad was a Freemason. How do you like that? All right, guys, we ran out of time. I only got another page or two left of this first section of notes. So I'll definitely finish this Tuesday, and then we'll get into this part two thing, which I think you're going to find very interesting. All right, guys, take care. We'll see you Monday.
I've always believed that Britain is a country of migrants. I'm Jewish. Some of my family came in the late 19th century. I'm Sephardi on my mother's side.
The Liberal Democrats will always stand up for a Britain that is open, tolerant and diverse. And in that spirit, I very much welcome the Jewish European Election Manifesto, calling for a strengthening of EU hate crime legislation. As a party, we wholeheartedly value the relationship we have with the Jewish community, both in Britain and internationally.